Chapter 4. Ophidium System, Arx Meridia Telepathica Matrix. First Captain Zerbrin stood on the command deck of the battle-barged Dantalion, taking in the destruction. The Ophidium System was no more. It had been a trading hub of ancient commercial significance, dominated by the hive world of Bucolica Mundi and near 100 orbiting agri-moons. It was rumoured that the system fed half the sector. It did so no longer, however. Gone were the fleets of merchant vessels and bulk freighters. Gone were the audit stations, the void storage depots, and the orbital docking facilities that Bucolica Mundi wore about its fat belly like a belt. Gone was the planet itself. Torn apart by the Orcs' gravitational weaponry, the hive world now drifted through the system as an ever-expanding blizzard of shattered rock and billions of frozen bodies. The shepherd moons had fared little better, their delicate orbits thrown into disarray. While some were flung off into the void, their worker populations freezing to death along with their livestock, others burned in the closing embrace of the raging Ophidian sun. In the hive world's place, Zerbrin saw an orc attack moon, a monstrosity of rock, rusted metal plating, and gigantic weaponry. Upon its surface, a red clenched greenskinned claw had been roughly painted, not unlike the clasped gauntlet that identified the first captain's own vessels as belonging to the Fist's exemplar. About the moon, like the swirling stellar material of some newly formed star, a maelstrom of fragmented planetary rock and monstrous orc attack craft circled. Like a hurricane passing through the void through enemy armadas and systems, it scoured Imperial subsectors clean of life.
"I will repeat myself," Mendel Reok hissed through his half-helm. "This is ill-advised."
As if to echo the Space Marine's view, the Dantalion shuddered briefly with the impact of a piece of debris that had found its way through the turrets.
"Your opinion is noted, Apothecary," the First Captain said from the command pulpit. "The Chapter Master must be warned," Valdric Lysander said. "Terror must be warned. These monstrosities have a weakness. It must be exploited."
Rayok pointed towards lancet screens, full of destruction, and the enemy fleet that had wrought such calamity.
"I am not seeing weakness out there. You are seriously suggesting that you want to take our ship into that?"
"Of course not," Lysander admitted. "But we must reach the Telepathica Matrix so we can get word to Chapter Master Thane, and that is worth any risk.
It's comforting to know that I'm surrounded by wrong-headed fools who would rather throw away lives than think," Rayok said irritably.
"Apothecary," Zerbrin began.
"Don't underestimate Chapter Master Thane,"
Rayok told him, glancing at Lysander to include him too in the rebuke.
"He probably already has the information you risk so much to impart. And even if he does not, it will not matter. The Fist's exemplar will not allow this threat, this beast, to prevail. Like him, we should be marshalling our strength and taking the fight to the Orcs."
Lysander stepped aside and wordlessly offered a gauntlet towards the devastation of the Ophidium system and the Orc attack moon.
"Obviously, I don't mean to make our stand here," Rayok said. "That would be suicide."
"Your faith in Thane is well placed," Zerbrin said. "But just as there are procedures to follow on the surgical slab, there are protocols to follow in times of war."
"Protocols?"
Rayok's tone was skeptical.
"Yes," Zerbrin told him. "I know you are eager to get back to fighting the Orcs, but you would use a chainsword when a las scalpel is required. I have seen you strategize, pick your enemies, and triage the wounded. That is all I'm doing here, Apothecary, favoring the strategy that yields the most effective outcome. With knowledge of the alien susceptibility to psychic assault, Terra might be secured, the Imperium unified, and the beast brought down."
"That may be, but we are not seeing much unity out here," Rayok retorted.
"Explain yourself, brother," Zerbrin demanded.
"I am saying that the Imperium should get the heroes it deserves," the apothecary told him.
"My lord," Lysander protested.
"Let him speak," the First Captain said. "You were there," Rayok said. "You saw the regimental mutinies at Archangelus. Commodore Beecham's refusal to abandon his station and join our number. The silent Mechanicus, too busy fortifying their forge worlds to accompany us in a counteroffensive. There might be other reasons for that," Lysander said, looking between the apothecary and Zerberin. We keep ill company. The Iron Warriors are the only ones fighting alongside us, Rheok said simply. They're not to be trusted, Lysander insisted. Maybe not, Rheok said, but that is not for you or I to decide. It makes me uneasy to hear you speak of them with such favour, Lysander said. Like you, I favour the strong, the apothecary said. The Adeptus Astartes have always known the flaws of humanity, its weakness in body, spirit, and mind. We know them for greed, politics, and the indulgence of their fears. When humanity isn't falling before its foes, it is selling out its allies. Betrayal, Lysander said. You want to talk about betrayal? Fall? Sebastus? Terra? And what of Rancor Adepts, Krastengrad, and 12520? Rheok countered. Loyalties are but matters of time and place, and the High Lords of Terra are only loyal to themselves. Their ships stand off, their armies flee, their faithful embrace the worship of this beast. How can we fight this alien invasion with that? We fought side by side with the Iron Warriors during the Great Crusade, as we do right now. Calcator's vessel sits under our guns, and we have done nothing. Why? Because the First Captain knows that right now a living Iron Warrior is worth more to our cause than a dead one. We need his warriors, their weapons, and their assets. Let's not waste them here in the service of protocol. A hololithic display crackled to life nearby, its signal hissing and warping with every void-born rock to strike the Dantalion. The spectral form of Warsmith Calcator presented itself on the command deck, battle plate a rust-mottled pattern of tarnished silver and stripe.
The Palimedes, First Captain,
Shipmaster Markarian said, stepping to one side. You have something to report, Iron Warrior, Zerberin said with impatience. Calcator let the suggestion that the Fist's exemplar were in charge of their joint venture pass.
Only that this was ill-advised, the Iron Warrior said.
Lysander looked to Rheok, but the apothecary shrugged, as if to say that he had told them so.
My vessel has sustained damage in the debris field. Repairs are necessary and urgent, Calcator continued. How long will this take? Zerberin asked.
It will take us no longer than 3 hours to repair the damage, Calcator said. I would curse the decimation in this system, but I suspect that it is the only thing keeping our ships from being discovered by the orcs.
Very well, the First Captain said. We shall proceed to the Telepathica Matrix and relay our warning to Terra.
You will find no redemption there, Son of Dawn, the Iron Warrior said. Not for words and not for actions. The galaxy is short on second chances, and you never get a second chance to make a first impression. Take it from one who knows.
I am doing this, Iron Warrior, Zerberin told him. It is no less in your interest than mine that Terra defeats the orcs.
Agreed, Calcator said, for I much prefer fighting Imperials than Greenskins, though in truth you both seem to like fighting yourselves.
3 hours, Zerberin said, moving the uncomfortable exchange on.
Do what you must, Calcator said, but once my repairs are made, I and my ship are taking leave of this death-trap system.
Such fearful assessments are not your reputation, Lysander said.
I fight the orcs on my own terms, Calcator told him. What would you have us do? Defend a pile of void-strewn rubble? Mount a suicidal siege on that attack moon with insufficient men and vessels?
No, Zerberin admitted.
Then do not waste my time with your own fearful assessments, Calcator said. Palimedes out.
The hololithic transmission faded to static and then to nothingness. Lysander grunted his derision. There was a good reason why the orcs, in their devastation of the system, had not discovered the Ark's Meridia installation. The Telepathica Matrix was stationed in orbit close to the Ophidium star. Within the relative chill and darkness of colossal protective shielding, it was safe from the radioactive inferno of the sun. Lost from without in the blinding glare and static of the star, it remained safe from the invading attentions of the orcs. As they ploughed on through the blaze, the temperature aboard the Dantalion rose. Void shields crackled and pulsed while the command deck was flooded with blinding light from the bridge lancet screens. As the battle barge fell in behind the orbiting station and the glowing metal of its protective shield, everything returned to blotched darkness.
Upon the Dantalion's approach, Zerberin could see that beyond the Baroque system, ships of Adeptus Astrotelepathica, one other vessel was docked to the station.
"Master Markarian," the first captain said.
"It looks as if she belongs to the League of Black Ships," the shipmaster said, leaning in over deck serfs, servitors and consoles. "The Ethymian Astra, my lord."
"A tithe ship," Lysandre said.
"For unbound psychers, yes," Markarian confirmed. "She must have been levying the system when the orcs attacked," Rayok said, "then sought shelter at Arx Meridia."
"Communications?" Zerberin asked.
"From the station," the shipmaster said. "No, my lord, nothing. Our reputation precedes us,"
Rayok mused.
"Shipmaster," the first captain said, "dock with the station."
"Yes, my lord."
"Lysandre," Zerberin went on, "have a squad. Meet me down in the airlock vestibule."
"You shall have my best, first captain, Sergeant Vasmir."
"And continue with your long-range auger sweeps," Zerberin ordered.
"Are you still going over there?"
Rayok asked.
"We are going over there, apothecary," Zerberin said, making for the command deck elevator. "We need to find an astropath, and the souls on that station and the crew of the Black Ship may need our aid."
Locking harsh gazes with Lysandre, Rayok turned to follow the first captain. In the airlock vestibule that rang with the reverberating boom of battle barge and station coming together, they were met by Titus Vasmir and his squad. The five space marines checked each other's scorch-patterned plate before moving on to their own bolt guns. A serf arrived in the vestibule with Zerberin's helmet, gladius and pistol before exiting a steam vented about the Fist's exemplar. The docking had been successful.
"First captain,"
Vasmir acknowledged.
"Flanking positions," Zerberin ordered as the lock opened, making it clear that Vasmir's squad was to perform the duty of an escort.
With squad Vasmir marching either side and the sergeant in front, Zerberin and Apothecary Rayok enter the Telepathica Matrix station. Within, Arx Meridia seemed like a haunted cathedral. The astropaths and their servants kept a dour and functional installation, largely dominated by dormitory cells, choir halls, and techno-arcane equipment designed to relay and augment the astropathic talents of the station's psychers. Since astropaths were blind, decorative features were restricted to hexagrammatic wardings, relief symbols, and textured tapestries.
"No reception party,"
Rayok said, both suspicious and insulted.
"Or word from the choir master?"
The facility appeared to be deserted. No robed astropaths, no adepts or station bondsmen, not even servitors.
"Where is everyone? Could the station have been attacked?"
"No bodies either," Zerberin said before adjusting his vox channel.
"Lysandre?"
"Captain," the veteran sergeant crackled back.
"Are there any signs that the orcs have already been here?"
"Stand by," Lysandre said. Then a moment later,
"The Ethymian Astra shows battle damage down her flanks and engine column, but I'm assuming that was the cost of reaching the station. It doesn't look like orc fire, though. Too precise. Arx Meridia itself is untouched."
"Make our announcement," Zerberin said.
"You might think we had already done that," Rayok commented.
The Fist's exemplar were traversing a scriptorium. A long, tall room, its walls were lined with bookcases stuffed with dusty tomes and scrolls. Desks and stools lay upturned all around. Above their heads, raised galleries and walkways projected from the shadows.
"Arx Meridia Matrix!"
Lysandre's voice boomed down the length of the cavernous chamber. It seemed that communications were being run through the facility's voxcaster system.
"This is the Adeptus Astartes battle barge Dantalion. First Captain Zerberin in command. The Space Marines of the Fist's Exemplar require an audience with the station choirmaster. Present yourselves."
Zerberin slowed, the Space Marines of Squad Vasmir with him. The sergeant and Rayok took a few more steps before turning.
"First Captain,"
Vasmir said.
"What is it?"
the apothecary asked.
"I thought I heard something," Zerberin told them. "Sergeant, Auspex, give me a sweep of the surrounding chambers."
With Rayok looking around and Sergeant Vasmir going to work on his multi-scanner, the first captain heard the sound of the squad's gauntlets creaking about the grips of their bolt guns.
"Multiple signatures," Vasmir called out. "Ambush pattern."
The gloom of the scriptorium suddenly became a storm of las blasts and fury, cooking the air, crisscrossing beams of energy seared into the plate of the Fist's exemplar. With flash scarring and smouldering craters decorating their armor, the Space Marines fell into an immediate defensive posture against one of the walls. Powerful las beams burned their way across the hall from all directions. Surrounding their first captain, Squad Vasmir took their positions, bolt guns primed and ready.
"What are your orders, my lord?"
Sergeant Vasmir called. Zerberin lifted his head to peer around the chamber. He could see dark shapes in carapace moving along the raised galleries and out of the gloomy corridors adjoining the scriptorium. They wore power packs on their backs, enhancing the effectiveness of their weaponry. The lenses of their helmets burned the red of judgment as they took cover and rested their las guns against corners and on toppled tables. Zerberin realized that if they had reached the end of the hall, they would have been caught in a bloody ambush.
"Captain," the sergeant urged. "Hold your fire,"
Zerberin growled.
"What?"
Rayok said, turning on his captain.
"We're being fired upon."
"This must be a misunderstanding," Zerberin said. "I will not take the lives of loyal Imperial troops over an error of judgment. If your system was swarming with orcs, then you might be over-ready with your weapons yourself."
Rayok drew his bolt pistol.
"It is," the apothecary said, "and I am."
"Sergeant," Zerberin said.
"They appear to be inquisitorial stormtroopers,"
Vasmir said, before a stream of light tore over his head.
"Probably from the Black Ship,"
he added.
"What are the Holy Ordos doing firing upon us?"
Rayok asked.
"Captain,"
Lysander said over Zerberin's helmet vox, "I'm getting reports of firing aboard Arx Meridia. Do you require reinforcements?"
"Negative,"
Zerberin said. He didn't want to add to the havoc and confusion within the station.
"Stand ready, but do not intervene unless I send word."
With the air warming around them and the floor cratered with glowing impacts, Zerberin fired three shots into the chamber ceiling. As he expected, the highly trained stormtroopers retreated behind cover as chunks of metal and plascrete cascaded down in front of them.
"Troop commander,"
Zerberin called, taking advantage of the break in the blazing ambush, "stand your men down.
I am Zerberin, first captain of the Fist's exemplar. I have information vital to my brothers securing Terra from the alien threat. It is imperative that I make contact with them. I need to commandeer the abilities of this station's astropathic choir to do so."
After a few moments of tense silence, the storm erupted again, with beams searing into stone and over their heads. One las blast found its way to glance off Rayok's pauldron, spraying the apothecary's half-helm with glowing cinders of ceramite.
"Cease firing or die!" Rayok called out.
"Troop commander,"
Zerberin repeated,
"the credentials of your order will not be able to protect you from the Adeptus Astartes."
"My lord," Sergeant Vasmir said, "they've been isolated. They could have taken leave of their senses."
"Or have already surrendered themselves to the Xenos faith,"
the apothecary said,
"for which there is only one cure."
Suddenly, the scriptorium was silent again. The gloom of the hall returned, with the las rifles of the stormtroopers snapping to a stop in unison.
"Troop commander," Zerberin called again.
"He is not in command here, captain,"
a voice crackled across the voxcasters around them.
"I am."
"Identify yourself," Zerberin commanded.
"Dargastri," the voice came again, "of the Emperor's Holy Inquisition."
"Then you will know, Lord Dargastri," Zerberin said, "that we fight on the same side for the same cause, that the beast is our common enemy. Put aside your weapons and your men will not be harmed, I give you my word."
"Your word, eh?" Dargastri said. "What would the word of a traitor be worth these days? Probably little more than a greenskin's, I would think."
"Vasmir is right," Rayok said. "He's gone insane."
"It is unwise to insult the Adeptus Astartes," Zerberin told the Inquisitor.
"I dare say you are right, but you have fallen from the Emperor's grace,"
Dargastri said.
"Lord Dargastri," Zerberin called, "the Adeptus Astartes are not in the habit of issuing warnings, but as a courtesy I'm doing so. To you, Lord Inquisitor,
A final one. Lay down your weapons and surrender this facility to the Fist's Exemplar, or suffer the Emperor's wrath in bolt and blade.
I can't do that, Captain, the Inquisitor told him, and neither can you, for the Emperor's wrath is reserved for the enemies of his holy Imperium. For you, Captain, and your traitor-hearted space marines, you shall pay the price for such accusations and false reports, Zerberin growled. At least the price shall not be my immortal soul, Dargastri said, before telling his stormtroopers, destroy them!
Zerberin gritted his teeth behind the grill of his helm. These servants of the Imperium have given themselves over to madness, he said to his men. The order is given. Kill them. All of them. The Fist's Exemplar advanced upon their newfound enemies. Like the closing of a Ceramite trap, Zerberin and his space marines turned the stormtroopers' ambush into a bolt storm that rolled back towards the soldiers. The armor of the Fist's Exemplar soaked up the blasts of las rifles. With patches of their plate glowing with the insistence of gunfire, they hammered the troopers back with merciless bursts from their weapons. Beyond, they could hear urgent orders being called between the soldiers as they moved to take different positions about the end of the scriptorium. It couldn't save them. Within the blink of an eye, the Fist's Exemplar were upon them, the mortals looking down the sights of pistols and bolt guns. With cold certainty of purpose, the Angels of Death lived up to their name. Bolt rounds came blasting at the Inquisitorial stormtroopers with a speed and accuracy they could never match. With superhuman reflexes and a lifetime of training, the space marines blew ragged holes through chests and skulls, turning carapace armor and helmets into bloody mulch. Rounds exploded out of the backs of the soldiers, spattering the floor and furniture with gore. The force of the impacts lifted them off their feet and slammed them into the bookcase-lined walls. Before they even had time to hit the ground, the Fist's Exemplar had turned, aimed, and delivered another death-dealing blast at their next victim. All the while, beams of energy seared the air about them and left scorched craters in their plate. To their credit, the stormtroopers did not break. They died as they had lived, precisely, economically. Sergeant Vasmir unleashed the devastation of his bolt gun on full automatic, turning hiding soldiers into a mess that was barely recognizable as human. With the troopers in the hall dead, Vasmir ejected his empty magazine and slammed in a new one. Beyond, orders had turned into panicked shouting. An inquisitorial stormtrooper ran out from an adjoining corridor, clutching a plasma gun, and Zerberin and Rayok both turned their pistols on him. As bolt rounds tore the trooper's body apart, the globe of superheated energy blazing forth from the plasma gun streaked away from the weapon. Like a tiny, blinding sun, it struck Vasmir in the throat, bubbling ceramite and vaporizing flesh into nothingness. The sergeant dropped with an armored clatter, his orspec sliding across the floor. The first captain and Rayok reached the end of the scriptorium, taking positions on either side of the end of the corridor. Zerberin took a moment to replace the magazine in his bolt pistol. The apothecary holstered his own weapon and drew his chainsword from where it sat across his back. Gunning it to life, he thrashed the monomolecular teeth. Looking down at the dropped orspecs on the floor nearby, Zerberin could see the inquisitorial forces withdrawing up the passage at the sound. The first captain looked back down the hall. The thunder of Squad Vasmir's bolters had fallen silent, the hall emptied of foes. Zerberin held up three armored digits at Rayok, then two, then one. Surging around the corner with powered steps, the space marines were met with a storm of las beams that cut up the length of the corridor. Their battle plate smoked with a seething caress of suppression fire. The beams kept coming, the gloom of the corridor flashing like a warning strobe. Zerberin heard the repetitive snap of a volley gun and felt a succession of powerful las streams take him in the cabling of his midriff. Squeezing the trigger, Zerberin sent bolt rounds rocketing into the stormtroopers holding the passage. His shots tore through carapace, flesh and bone, blasting Dargastri's highly trained troops into flailing corpses. Advancing past his captain, Rayok brought his chainsword up with skill and determination and swept the razored teeth of the blade through the soldiers who were desperate to get off a last few las blasts before the apothecary reached them.
Even Inquisitorial stormtroopers lost their nerve as this death came at them. Rayok moved through Dargastri's troops with the precision of the surgeon he was. He opened soldiers up from jaw to hip, the chainsword chewing through flesh. He struck heads from shoulders and cut down through the lines connecting weapons to power packs. The mortals were no longer retreating. They were fleeing. Zerbrin continued his fire. As bolt rounds punched through the Inquisitorial stormtroopers, they dropped to the floor until a single soldier remained, the trooper carrying the volley gun. With a smouldering muzzle aimed at the first captain, he pulled back on the trigger. The weapon was silent, however. Rayok had sliced through the gun's power cabling during his devastating onslaught. Zerberin looked back down the corridor. He saw Squad Vasmir stepping over the body of their sergeant and turned on the remaining trooper with sudden fury, a cold vengeance that was equal parts indignation and indulgence. He slammed his pistol into his holster and grabbed the soldier savagely by the throat. As his powered gauntlet closed on the stormtrooper's neck, Zerberin leaned in. So close to the struggling soldier's helm, the Space Marine could hear Dargastri still giving orders. The first captain realized that the Inquisitor had been watching the whole firefight through the glowing red lenses of his men. Zerberin positioned himself in front of the trooper's optics. "This is but one Space Marine for every world in the Imperium," Zerberin announced for the Inquisitor's benefit. "This madness has cost me another of my brothers. While we fight amongst ourselves, worlds are being lost to the invader. For my battle brother and the worlds he might have protected, you must die, Inquisitor." With that, Zerberin crushed the bones in the trooper's neck and tossed his body away like a rag doll. Mendel Rayok came up beside his captain.
"Where are the astropaths?" the apothecary asked. "If I must guess, Dargastri has them in the black ship," Zerberin said, his voice a hollow rasp. "But we need them." "They are Themion?" Rayok said.
"Yes," Zerberin said. He changed the channel on his helmet vox.
"Lysander!"
"Here, Captain,"
Lysander responded from the bridge of the Dantalion.
"Send me two more squads and your second best sergeant," Zerberin ordered. "We're going to storm the black ship."
"Yes, my lord."
Zerberin was silent as he made his way through the Arx Meridia station. While Apothecary Rayok kept his chainsword idling and Squad Vasmir moved from corner to corner, aiming their bolt guns in advance of their progress, the first captain didn't seem to care. As they approached the reception antechambers of the Black Ship's docking station, Zerberin's men were joined by Squads Tor and Escoban. Sergeant Solomon Tor was a veteran of Gamma Hydrata and the Silent Wars. He had come ready with men and equipment to breach the airlock of the Athemium Astra. They didn't need such measures, however, because as Zerberin entered the antechamber for the starboard lock, he found the Barbican airlock to the Black Ship open. Zerberin held up a fist, bringing his Space Marines to a halt. The squads assumed positions on the airlock, their bolt guns ready, while the first captain slowed to a stop. The opening was not crowded with Inquisitorial stormtroopers. Instead, three figures waited for the Space Marines. The first was a robed, emaciated specimen of a man, raw-eyed and twitchy. His skeletal hands glowed with otherworldly energies. The second sat in a tracked throne, a shaved and muscular wretch. Despite his brawn, his face betrayed the simple wonder of a small child. Both bore the savage brand of the Inquisition on their foreheads, the mark of forced recruitment. Zerberin knew that Inquisitors often travelled on the Adeptus Astra Telepathicus black ships, searching for psychic recruits to join the Holy Ordos. The third was restrained in an upright containment casket, crisscrossed with heavy chains, their face and form unseen within.
"I advise caution, my lord," Rayok said. "They're witch breeds."
Zerberin nodded. He now had even more reason to regret having lost all of his librarians.
"Correct,"
a voice rang out across the antechamber, and the Inquisitor stepped out from behind the upright containment casket. Dargastri was an aged wreck of a man, half machine and half rejuvenate mangled flesh. The Inquisitor's dark robes and hood hid ugly armor. Buried in a stained, unkempt beard and held in a gap-toothed mouth with a tapering pipe that wreathed the old man in ghostly smoke.
He walked around before the psychers with the sighing hydraulics of a bionic leg, steadying himself with a metal walking stick. He wore a holstered bolt pistol on his belt.
Inquisitor! First Captain,
Dargastri acknowledged. You are so ordered, Zerberin said, to hand over the Astropath Choir assigned to this station. For if you do not, with the Emperor's own thunder, I will take them by force.
The Matrix personnel are under my protection, the Inquisitor said, and that is the way they will remain.
Zerberin snarled,
Brothers, advance!
Squads Vasmir, Escoban, and Tor stepped forward with their bolt guns to blast the Inquisitor and his three psychers into oblivion. Weapons barked their fury. Bolt rounds tore through the cool air of the chamber. A meter in front of Dargastri and his gathering, the rounds stopped, as though they had hit an invisible wall, and showered to the deck. The Fist's Exemplar intensified their fire, targeting the Inquisitor, but to no avail. Bolt rounds simply dropped before Dargastri to form piles on the metal floor before him. The Inquisitor lifted his walking stick. The pommel was crafted into a metal skull. As Dargastri flicked down the jaw with his thumb, a long flame rose up from the crown of the skull, and from it he relit his pipe. He jabbed the stick at the emaciated psyker who held his glowing fists out at his sides.
I only travel with the Athemian Astra, the Inquisitor said, but as with any ship, you get to know your fellow travellers. Zygmunt Fess here was part of a hive world tithe from the Faro Worlds. Before devoting his talents to the Holy Ordos, he held off two battalions of his homeworld's local militia and Imperial Navy airstrikes for 3 days. He has a talent for survival.
His talents won't be enough to save you, Inquisitor, Zerberin told him.
Dargastri pointed his walking stick at the muscle-bound psyker trapped in the tracked chair.
As there will be no escape for the Emperor's enemies, the Inquisitor told him. 4175 here was transferred from the Dreadhaven penal colony on Panoptica 13. Kept getting through the security measures. Doors, bars, chains, sentry guns. They don't work on him. Panoptica's a dead rock, so there was nothing outside but sun-bleached stone. Still, he earned his place aboard the Athemian, as now he earns his place in my retinue.
Dargastri ejected his bolt pistol's magazine and tossed the weapon into the seated psyker's lap. The witchbreed set upon the weapon like a toy to be examined and explored. Within moments, the gun fell apart in his hands. The Inquisitor clicked at 4175. Getting the psyker's attention off the disassembled pistol, he pointed at the Fist's Exemplar. A childish smile of delight passed across the psyker's features. The deck began to clatter with components. While the Space Marines aimed their weapons at the Inquisitor and his psykers, the bolt guns fell apart in their gauntlets. Rounds rained to the floor alongside the internal working parts of the weaponry. Eventually, the barrels, breeches, and grips of the bolt guns and pistols clanged to the deck. As Rayok's pistol fell apart on his belt, pieces tumbling from his holster, he stepped forward. With a snarl, he gunned his chainsword and advanced.
Apothecary! The Inquisitor said, moving along the line to the final psyker. I wouldn't do that.
Wouldn't do what? Rayok asked. Wouldn't step through your defences and hack you and your witches limb from limb?
This is Thesta,
Dargastri said, sliding open a narrow panel at the top of the containment casket, revealing the face of a woman. Her eyes were misted, but ravenous for sights unseen. Not knowing what powers she possessed or what the Inquisitor might do, the apothecary slowed to a stop.
The guards named her, the Inquisitor said. She won't be tamed for my service, but might still do the Emperor's work. Under the right circumstances. Circumstances like these, Captain. The Athemian found her on the feral world of Karnak. Upon arrival, the black ship found most of the population of the capital city dead, drowned. Her powers had blossomed with womanhood, and now whatever she sees, she is driven to manifest. It must have rained, a rare occurrence on Karnak. Thesta flooded her entire city and drowned thousands of her tribespeople. They tried to blind her, to curtail her powers, but she can still see. A little. If something were to be held up close, a flame, say.
Holding his walking stick up to the containment casket, Dargastri depressed the skull's bottom jaw and produced a flame from the pummel. The rogue psyker's eyes started to focus on the flame, and the casket began to rock. Rayok looked back at his captain. Zerberin simply stared at the Inquisitor and his collection of witch breeds.
"What is it that you want?" he asked.
"I want to serve my Emperor," Dargastri told him, "to my last dying breath."
"There is no one clad in this plate that feels differently."
"I very much doubt that,"
the Inquisitor hissed.
"Inquisitor," Zerberin said, "can't you see what is happening to this system, the Sector? The Imperium. The orcs are everywhere. They hang over Terra like an ill omen. You must allow me access to the astropathic choir. I have intelligence vital to our success against the alien invader."
"So that you might spread your poison to the stars," Dargastri said. "I think not. You will not be allowed to commandeer this station, for the astropaths here are the servants of the God Emperor. You will not be allowed to enter the Athemian Astra to use the astropaths or to plunder its mutant cargo, for they are the God Emperor's bounty."
Zerberin's lips wrinkled into a snarl. The First Captain knew that the Inquisitor meant every word, that he would unleash the full destructive potential of his psykers upon them if pushed.
"Squads Eskaman, Vasmir, Tor," he said, "do your duty."
He heard the sound of combat blades being drawn as the Fist's exemplar made ready to storm the black ship.
"Oh, no, Captain," the aged Inquisitor said. "I can't allow you to do that. You are traitors to the Imperium and must be purged. It is the reason for the Inquisition's very being. I am nothing in the grand scheme of gods and emperors, but you, Captain, and your men... If I let you go, you will go on to wreak havoc across a thousand worlds."
"Emperor willing, yes," Zerberin said. "Upon the barbarian greenskins."
"No, Captain," Dargastri said. "I've seen the company you keep. You travel in consort with traitors. And I got a good look at them, Captain, for it was your Iron Warrior's compatriots who fired upon the Athemian Astra some months since. This vessel still bears the scars of that engagement. We were fortunate to get away with our lives. If it hadn't been for the havoc of the orcs, I doubt we would have done so."
"You have seen what we face," Zerberin said, stepping forward and gritting his teeth. "The Imperium is a candle about to be snuffed out.
There is no common ground to be held between those loyal to the Emperor and traitors. Only degrees of denial and darkness,"
Dargastri told him.
"I am First Captain of a Fist's Exemplar, Jean Syed of Rogal Dawn," Zerberin said, "scourge of the Imperium's enemies, true servant to the Emperor of mankind."
"There can be no accord between you and me, Captain," Dargastri said. "As there should not have been between the Fist's Exemplar and the Iron Warriors. That is why I must destroy you, Captain, even as I destroy myself."
Dargastri passed the flame before the view slit of the metal casket. The misty eyes of the psyker within lit up, and the girl let out an abysmal shriek of excitement and terror, the thrill of light in the darkness, the dread of what she was about to do. Suddenly, everything became light and noise. Thunder crashed through the empty telepathica matrix station. Girders tore, decks shattered. Flames roared through the antechamber and the access corridor. Zerberin watched as his Fist's Exemplar were taken from him, swallowed by the rolling inferno that felt its way through the starboard section of Arx Meridia. And then, without warning, they returned, Delivered from destruction, the Space Marines found themselves washed clean of the plate-scorching flame. Sucked back through their number, the firestorm disappeared. In confusion, Zerberin turned around to see the flames recede. About him, the station's superstructure was shaking violently, prompting him to grab for a pipelined wall with his gauntlet. With the fire went the airlock and the antechamber's exterior wall. Flame and shearing sections of station hull were sucked out into the void. With the wall gone, Zerberin could see the hull of the Athemian Astra. Explosions rippled down the length of the black ship, sweeping through the command deck, quarters, engineering and containment. As flame briefly blossomed through the vessel's decks, the ship collapsed in on itself. The station's atmosphere howled past Zerberin. He felt Rayok lifted off his feet by the fury of the evacuating air and the failing artificial gravity of the damaged section. He grabbed for the apothecary, Zerberin's ceramite-clad fingers reaching out for Rayok's own. Hooking the fingertips of their gauntlets together, the first captain anchored himself to the wall. Hauling the apothecary close and allowing him to gain purchase on the pipes also, Zerberin watched the wreck of the Athemian Astra peel away from the station.
"Lock boots to the deck!" Zerberin called across the vox to the Fist's exemplar.
Engaging the magnetic soles of their armored boots, the Space Marines resisted the venting atmosphere and the cold embrace of the void. As the decimated black ship fell away, Zerberin watched Inquisitor Dargastri and his psykers disappear into the blackness of space, the deck tearing asunder beneath them.
"Captain," Lysander called back across the vox, "the station is destabilized. I'm struggling to maintain pressure and docking integrity. You must withdraw. I have brothers waiting for you at the airlock."
Using the magnetic soles of their boots, the Fist's exemplar made the difficult journey back through Arx Meridia. All about them, Zerberin and his Space Marines could hear the agony of the station. The superstructure groaned, and the orbital facilities began to turn out of their alignment. Rolling out of the protection of its stellar shielding, the station increasingly became exposed to the monstrous heat of the sun. Its hull glowed white, and sections disintegrated before the fury of the star, flame flooding halls and complexes. With the unfolding inferno at their backs, Zerberin led the Fist's exemplar off the shattered station and through the main lock of the Dantalion. Space Marines and serfs in environment suits waited to assist them there.
"We're on board," Zerberin told Lysander across the vox, catching his breath. "Detach."
"Detaching,"
Lysander reported back.
"Captain, what is it?"
Zerberin shot back with annoyance. So much had happened aboard the station that he just wanted to be alone with his thoughts, even just for a moment.
"Long-range auger scans reveal orc attack craft closing in our position,"
Lysander told him.
"What are the Iron Warriors doing?"
"They're leaving the system,"
Lysander said.
"They're making for the Mandeville Point."
Zerberin looked at Apothecary Rayok and the Fist's exemplars with him in the airlock.
"Follow them,"
he ordered.